Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We've been talking about the last several weeks some if statements in the New Testament. That's a big little word, if. Most of the time, it's used to present a condition. If you do this, I'll do this. Maybe not every time. But it's a very important word. It's only two letters long, but it's still very important. Here's an example of an if statement in 1 Corinthians 15. Let me read verses 15 through 17. It says, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins." So there was people in 1 Corinthians that Paul is writing to that were denying the resurrection of Christians. But, and he says, but if there's no resurrection, then that would mean that Christ was not raised. And if Christ was not raised, that means your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. So if you see the point of the if statement, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. And that's really true. If Christ is not raised, we're in our sins. It's so important. The resurrection is so important to our salvation. And then how about 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22? "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." You know, there are some conditions of salvation, like believe, repent, confess, be baptized. There's another condition that sometimes is overlooked, and that is you got to love the Lord Jesus Christ. This says it. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be anathema, maranatha. You can't be saved without loving Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And he said in 15:14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." You see, love is the motivation for obedience. First, we believe in Christ. There's no way you could love Christ until you actually believe in Christ. But once you believe in him, then you love Christ, and that love for Christ leads you to obey Christ. That's the motivation for obedience. It's the motivation for baptism. So here it says, if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be lost. Love is a very basic and important condition of salvation, just like faith and repentance. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Again, the number to call, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open, 877-655-6755. How about 2 Corinthians 3, verse 11? It says, "For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." You say, I'm picking that up in the middle of the context. There's the if statement. But what is it talking about? Well, let's back up to verse 7. It says, "But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away." So guess what? The thing that was glorious was the thing written and engraven in stones. That's verse 7. And then it says in verse 11 that the thing that was glorious was done away. The thing that was glorious was done away. And the thing that was glorious was that which was written and engraven in stones. When you put those two together, it's saying the Ten Commandments were done away. I know people don't like that, but there's no way to escape that. Again, verse 7 says the things written and engraven in stones was glorious. And verse 7, it says the thing that was glorious was done away. So when you put two and two together, that means that the Ten Commandments were done away. We don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore. Nine of those Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament. We do have to keep those. The Sabbath is not in the New Testament. We don't have to keep that. Gary from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Patrick. It's always good to speak with you. When you came on, you were talking about, you made the statement that the Bible says, if, you know, you don't abide in Christ, if you don't abide in my saying, then you're not saved. Well, and you're talking about the fact that it is those who argue that you don't have to abide in the sayings. Well, by virtue of the fact that you don't abide in the sayings, you're no longer saved anyway. When you submit that, that's kind of semantical to just, you know, to have to even embark on that conversation.
Hey, I agree with you, Gary. I mean, think of a simple text like Hebrews 5:9. It's talking about Jesus, and it says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the only ones that are going to receive eternal salvation from the source, Jesus Christ, are those that obey Christ. Am I right, Gary?
Absolutely. By process of elimination, this is what I'm saying. It shouldn't even be topic for discussion. I'm not saying that you're wrong for discussing it, but I was just thinking, you know, I had one of those epiphanies. I'm like, wow. I mean, why would, you know, that even be a topic for discussion? Because when you discontinue, it's like working on a job. You have that job. As long as you obey the rules and regulations, you are considered an employee of that particular company. But once you violate, and they tell you, hey, if you violate, you're no longer in good standing. Therefore, you're no longer an employee. So if you don't remain in the teachings of Christ, if you don't do all the things that he say do, then by the process of elimination, you're no longer in his good standing and no longer in the faith that you proclaimed that you're walking in.
Gary, I think you're exactly right. Yeah, it makes sense. Think of John 8:31. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. A lot of people claim to be Jesus' disciple, but they all teach different things. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. It's one of those if statements. So you're right. It should go without saying that you got to continue in Jesus' word to be a disciple of his. But a lot of people, as you know, Gary, saying is all you got to do is believe in Jesus to be pleasing to God. But no, you got to do more than just believe in Jesus. You got to follow his teachings, John 8:31 and 32. Right, Gary?
Absolutely. I agree with that. And I know I'm getting a little off topic here, and I know you don't say a whole lot about politics, but I'm curious about something. I don't know if you are familiar with what happened on the inauguration prayer breakfast, I believe it was last year. The president, he was accosted by this Episcopalian bishop who kind of confronted him openly there in the church about being nice to LGBTQs and immigrants.
This is Trump's recent inauguration, right?
Right, that's correct. And there are those who say that that was not the right place. Now, I know your stance on women preachers, you know, alone. So if that would have been a man said it, in other words, was that, in your opinion, I've been looking for scriptures to support. My opinion is that was not the setting, and that was not the time and the place. But now there are those who differ with me on that. Now I'm curious as to how you feel about that. If all things would have been proper,
the time and the place for her to do that. Well,
in the church,
my opinion is
that was not.
How can she be called a bishop when a bishop's supposed to be the husband of one wife, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. She's a woman preacher, and that means she's violating 1 Corinthians 14, 34, and 35. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. She's advocating for the homosexuals, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 says the homosexuals shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So she's wrong on a lot of major reasons. Don't you agree, Gary?
Oh, absolutely. I think that now when I say absolutely, I mean that I love everyone. Everyone, you know, have to work out their soul salvation with fear and trembling before God. I know based on scriptures that to be a homosexual is wrong, to be a liar, thief, so forth and so on. I'm not hating on anyone, but I guess my thing is that was that the correct place? Should she have been able?
Gary, I think we're going off to something that the whether or not it was the right place or not doesn't make any difference compared to what the sin she's involved in doing and advocating for the homosexuals and the women preachers and the women bishops. I mean, anybody can debate all day long about the right place or not, but think about what sins she's advocating That's the important
thing. Well, I mean, we're in agreement. We're in agreement from that point. I'm just curious as to, you know, there are some who say that the church is not the place that things like that should be discussed. And I said, well, I think it's the setting was wrong. It was not the occasion for it. I was just curious as to how you felt about it. If you had some scriptures that would give me a basis for my position on it. I've not been able to necessarily find one that was foundational enough for me to stand adamantly and say, hey, this was not the correct place. That's what I was.
So I love you, Gary, but I've given you my answer. It's not even worth discussing. What's worth discussing is not the place, but whether or not women preachers and women bishops and homosexuals, whether or not that's right. That's the thing that's worth discussing. So let's continue on with our if statements. But if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Here's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if, here's our big little word if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you are in Christ, if any man be in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You're supposed to live a different way. You're supposed to live a different way. Well, how does a person get into Christ? How about Romans 6, 3 through 4? It says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 has given us a good illustration. If you're in Christ, and the way you get into Christ is you're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, 3. If you haven't been baptized, immersed as a believer, you're not in Christ. You're outside of Christ. You're not in the same relationship with Christ. If you're in Christ, then you ought to live a different way, is what 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creature. Act like a new creature. Follow through on the commitments you made. And that's what verse 4 of Romans 6 is saying. When you're baptized, you're supposed to come up out of the water and walk in newness of life. It's not Acts 2:38, just be baptized for the remission of sins. It's repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So when a person is getting baptized, he's just getting wet unless he repents first. Repent means I'm committing to changing my life in regard to sin. In the terminology of Romans 6, we're going to quit serving sin. We're going to start serving righteousness. Then you get baptized. When you get baptized, the blood of Christ washes away all your sins. Of course, we see that from Acts 22:16. Ananias told Saul, rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So your sins are not washed away by the blood of Christ until you're baptized. But even then, your sins aren't going to be washed away if you didn't repent. You repent, you commit to changing your life, you get baptized, all your sins are washed away, and then God expects you to follow through on this commitment that you made. Once saved, always saved. It's false. It's dead wrong. You have to follow through on that commitment. All right. If you don't, Galatians 5:4 says you are fallen from grace. You can't fall from a tree unless you've been in a tree. So if people had fallen from grace, Galatians 5:4, that means they were in grace, they were saved, they fell from grace. They're not in grace anymore. They're lost. Many passages teach once saved, always saved is false. And what I'm getting at is you got to repent and be baptized. You got to follow through on that commitment or your baptism won't do any good. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. The number is 877-655-6755. How about Galatians chapter 1, verse 9? As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There's that if statement. If you preach something different than what Paul preached, something different than the New Testament gospel, you're going to be accursed. The NIV says eternally condemned. That means if you teach false doctrine, you're going to be lost for teaching that false doctrine. We got to preach the true gospel. We got to preach the truth. John 8:32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Talking about being made free from sin. If we don't follow the truth, then we're not going to be made free from sin. Again, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You got to follow his teachings. The number to call, the lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. Galatians 2:17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He's saying, look, if we seek to be justified by Christ, but we're found sinners, then we're no better off really than a sinner. If we're found to be a sinner, if we're trying to be justified by Christ, but we're found sinners. The point is, if you're trying to be justified by Christ, you got to turn away from your sins. You got to repent of your sins. Didn't we say that? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Baptism without repentance won't do you a bit of good. How about Galatians 3:29? And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. It used to be you were a child of God by birth. Now you're Abraham's seed. You're his descendant spiritually if you belong to Christ. Well, how do you get to that being in that state of belonging to Christ? Well, just two or three verses before that, I just read verse 29. Let me read verse 26 and 27 of Galatians 3. It says there, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? So a person becomes a child of God by faith. No doubt about that. Galatians 3:26. Then 27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So 27 begins with this little word for. For means to introduce the reason. We become children of God by faith, but the reason we're children of God by faith is because we've been baptized into Christ. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, you don't have to be baptized to be saved, but this says you got to be baptized into Christ to be a child of God by faith. The reason you're a child of God by faith is because you've been baptized into Christ. That's the essence of this text. 27 is saying the way you became a child of God by faith is by being baptized into Christ. And notice again what we read in Romans 6, verse 3. You're baptized into Christ, which means before you get baptized, you're not in Christ. You're not in a fellowship with Christ. You're not in a saved relationship with Christ. So that's how you end up being belonging to Christ. You become a child of God by faith, by being baptized into Christ. If you do that, you belong to Christ. And verse 29 says, and if you be Christ, there's our little if statement, our word, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Pretty sure he's talking about the promise in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12:3, God promised, the third promise to Abraham was, in thee shall all the nations, the families of the earth, be blessed. What is that talking about? That's saying, in Abraham's descendant, Jesus Christ, through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not just the Jews, not just Abraham's descendants, but even the Gentiles too. Why is that? Because back in the Old Testament times, you became a child of God by birth. You're a descendant of Abraham. Now you're a child of God by faith, Galatians 3:26. And the reason given in 27 is, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how you became a child of God by faith, by being baptized into Christ. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call. The number is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Let's keep going through these if statements. They're pretty important. How about Galatians 5, 2 through 4? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. What's Paul saying there? Well, really he's saying the same thing that Acts chapter 15 says. Here's some Jews that were converted to Christ. And they're saying that Gentiles converted to Christ have to be circumcised, keep the law of Moses to be saved. And Paul is saying, no, if you try to bind circumcision, then you lose your salvation. You try to be justified by any part of the law, verse 4, you are fallen from grace. He's not saying it's wrong to be circumcised. You see that from verse 6 in Galatians 5. He says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not. The thing that matters is, do you have a faith which works by love? A lot of people say, all you got to do to be saved is believe in Jesus. This says, no, that's not good enough. Circumcision doesn't matter, but having a faith which works by love does. You have to have a faith that's going to work, and it's got to be motivated by love. Okay, so back to verses 2 through 4. It's not saying it's wrong to be circumcised. What it's saying is if you try to be justified by being circumcised, try to be justified by the law. In other words, if you teach that to be pleasing to God, you got to be circumcised or keep any part of the old law. If you do that, you're falling from grace. You lose your salvation. A lot of people say, well, you can't lose your salvation. Well, here's some people that did. They tried to be justified by the old law. They were falling from grace. They lost their salvation. It's a clear case of it. Clear case of it. Don't try to be justified by the law. Any part of the old law. If you try to bring any part of the old law into the new, you lose your salvation. It's that serious. Rodney from North Dakota. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, you know, my whole biggest thing is I followed in the United Pentecostal Church for a while. I kind of slid back and forth. And, you know, the church I attend now, the pastor is kind of a once saved, always saved. You know, and I've been in churches, and I almost get angry with pastors. And what I'm not seeing preached enough is just what you're talking about. It's kind of the fire and brimstone. And I feel the Spirit of God always leading me to that because I felt the calling to ministry. But I still have questions of, you know, what? How do I know where it's really God in my heart and when I'm reading the Bible? And every time I read the Bible, I feel more that United Pentecostal type thing, but I don't feel I'm able to live it. One thing, if I might just comment, self-gratification is something I struggle with. I'm really bold, open, and I think that's what I want to be in ministry too, is bold and open and transparent. But I don't feel I can minister and preach until I overcome that battle. And I feel that if I get on my face before God, then I'm crucifying the flesh and living by the Spirit. And I can overcome that temptation. But what I question is why I continue to fail over a period of time.
Rodney, I was thinking of a passage as you were talking in 1 John. You said, how do I know? How do I know? First John 2:3 says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So how do we know if we know Christ and we're in Christ, if we're in fellowship with Christ, if we're saved? If it says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3. So you're not going to know by feeling. Feelings, Rodney, are not always reliable. Feelings are not always reliable.
By God.
Feelings are not always reliable. They're based upon information. And if our information is off, then our feelings are going to be off. I'm thinking of Genesis 37, where Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. They put some blood on his coat, the coat of many colors, gave it to Jacob, his dad, and basically led the dad, Jacob, to think that Joseph was dead. He said, I'm going to go down mourning to the grave. Well, he felt like Joseph was dead, but was that, were his feelings correct? No, feelings are not reliable. It was based upon false information. The only way to know if you're saved is you're not going to feel necessarily, it's not going to, your feelings, you can feel like you're saved if you've been misled to think, well, all you got to do is believe in Jesus to be saved. You believe, you feel like you're saved, even though you never obeyed. Yeah, so you got to go by what the Bible says. You got to go by what the Bible says. And if you've done what the Bible says to be saved, then you're saved. Rodney, any follow-up?
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, I had a pastor once say from a pulpit, if you believe, you can lose your salvation, live your life like it. And if you don't think you can, then, you know, whatever. And I stand more in the agreement of what I feel.
And so I think Rodney's correct that not every time, but about 95% of the time, if you are taught, if a person is taught once saved, always saved, over and over, that you can live any old way you want to and still be saved, they're going to end up living any old way they want to. It's not only a false doctrine, once saved, always saved, it's a dangerous doctrine. It actually encourages immoral living. Again, if you teach people over and over and over again, they can live any old way they want to and still be saved, they're going to start living any old way they want to. Dangerous doctrine. If you would like to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, I want you to give me a call or text me at 256-682-9753. Or you can go to BibleCrossfire.com. You can listen to any of the old programs, or there's a way there to ask me a question by email or sign up for a Bible correspondence course. If you want a free 1-hour phone Bible study at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753.